Sally Rhine Feather from the Rhine Research Center, and our website is www.rhine.org. And I hope that I'll hear from some of the listeners for some stories. And you are now listening to Ghostly Talk.
get enough ghostly talk? You go to addunderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
It is 6 in the morning in India.
Yeah.
6 a.m. It's 8:10 p.m. right now, and it's 6:10 p.m., or a.m., I mean, in India. Mm-hmm. So what we will be doing is we're going to try and get Rajesh Singh, noted author, Rajesh Singh, on the phone in about half an hour or so, about 20 minutes or so.
20 minutes or something like that,
and
yeah.
See what we can do then.
Yeah. We were working it on the break, and it was, whew. Trying to get, I mean, the signal.
I think the satellites can't keep up with us.
I don't, yeah, just because we're sending out signals like, in all different directions, especially tonight, it seems. And, wow, you know, the sound was kind of rough, so we're going to try to get in a half an hour and see how it pans out. We're just going to have to try that and see what happens. In the meantime, though, we have
nothing to talk about.
No, we're going to do. I was, well,
so we're going to have 20 minutes.
God had a plan, and you messed it up.
What was the plan? I was making it up as I went along, honestly.
You were going to talk about the events that we didn't get a chance to talk about earlier, right?
Well, yeah, that was one thing, yeah.
Well, I was saying, now I'm very geeked about if Heather can possibly come up. I know she has alternate plans. She's supposed to be just in a neighboring state.
Right.
But if she can possibly come out to the on July 21st, 22nd, 23rd, mm-hmm. and the 22nd is the big day. That's where all the big events are. And if she can make it to any of those, oh, my gosh.
Oh, how much fun we'll have.
I have a feeling that we will get EVPs like crazy.
Well, I mean,
and then of course we're going to do the rogue
pub crawl,
and then we'll be hearing things, but that won't be EVP.
That's my only contribution to the show. Every time Doug forgets pub crawl, I just shout it out.
Well, yeah, thanks for
like I'm so excited about it. Yeah, pub crawl.
I think we'll have a pub crawl then.
With costumes, what? Don't forget that.
Oh, costumes, yes. Mm-hmm, yes. There's going to be costumes at the pub crawl.
What kind of costumes are people going to be wearing?
It's just two people wearing costumes. It's just
Bonnie and Amber are going to be wearing costumes at the pub crawl.
What, if I may ask, what are these costumes going to consist
you
of?
You don't want to know at the moment.
Yes, I do. See, well, yes, actually, I do.
Leather and lace. Does that cover it for you?
Leather and lace. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is going to be covering the majority.
Yes.
Yes.
Of your fleshy bags of water that we call bodies. I'd like to just verify this if possible.
Yes, we'll be covered.
Okay.
Is it okay with you, Dad?
But you didn't answer the question, though. You didn't. What? What?
Are you okay, Dad? Can I go out looking like that?
I'm not the father here. Doug's the father.
I'm going to be wearing leather and lace as well.
Doug is the father of the alien baby. You are acting like my papa right now.
Am I?
Papa Scott
Owl. I ain't the first time or last time I've been called that.
You sent out an email to the field reporter, Liz.
Oh, did I?
And you signed it, Papa.
Oh, did I?
Oh,
I think
we
you
rolling.
Thought you were just replying to me.
Whatever.
But you signed it, Papa, and I lost it.
I ain't breaking my heart any. Yeah, that's okay. I, when did I do that? I don't remember now.
I don't know. But all the field reporters.
You know
right
how many emails
now?
I sent out in one day? I can't remember
yes,
one
I do,
of them.
Because the, I get all of them.
The field reporters.
Hey, guys, it's 11 o'clock here. I just painted my nails. I just thought I'd let you know.
I just updated the schedule again. Here it is.
You know, you guys.
I'm not busting your balls.
I'm getting
on
crushed
that one
for this
because
one.
Because you
up to the minute updates. Up to
job
the minute updates.
That.
We do that in real time now. We keep that
I'm
updated all the time.
You do an amazing job.
Whether it's a major date change or even a character change, I'm sending out a new schedule for everybody. Because I've done that. I literally have
yes,
done that
I
before. I know you guys are like, what's the difference? There's no change here. What happened? But usually it was like, well, I misspelled that word or I forgot to capitalize that word mm-hmm. right there. So, hey, you know, I mean,
I appreciate that.
Did you guys happen to read the thread in the Ghostly Talk message boards mm-hmm. about the crypto thing in New York that Magnus was working
yes.
on?
Yes. Well, actually, I read, I believe, oh, he sent an email out about it.
Oh, did he?
To the field reporter mailing list.
Oh, so is this an old news thing that I'm talking about? Probably is.
If it's the same one, I think it is.
Well, John had said that they had this sighting. It was like 2 a.m. or something, and he answers his cell phone, and it's like, oh, there's a Bigfoot, there's a Bigfoot. It's an hour away from you. He's like, oh, I gotta go. But he had house guests and stuff like that, so he couldn't really just hop in the car and go, although he has done that in the past.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it this time. And because he's, you know, King of Rochester, R.I.P., Rochester's Investigators of the Paranormal.
Yeah.
So he gets calls like this all hours of the day and night. And so he was going to go, and he just couldn't do it till the next day. So the next day, he starts making phone calls. They send him some pictures. He posts the pictures up, and then his analysis of the pictures. And his
the analysis was the best part.
He's like, well, these are beautiful photos of a person in an ape suit.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping up, obviously.
No, you're not. Apparently, none of you are.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm not.
We all went out in the field reporters list.
Okay, well, I'll tell you why I'm not keeping up, though. Because we just mentioned the schedule a second ago, and there was a question about that in the chat room. So real high level, I think it's from. I think actually Elmer's asking this, so I'm going to answer this question for you directly.
What is the schedule they speak of?
Well, see what happens is over the last 4.5 years, our booking things, our scheduling things, and all the stuff that we do as this entity called Ghostly Talk has gotten very busy and has gotten cast out further and further in the year, right? So what I
thought, we are actually booked through what the end of September?
No, actually the end of October.
Yeah.
The end of October.
Right now. So
you did keep October as Ghost Month, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. That stuff's all installed into the software I have written for this thing now. So
it takes everything.
Frame, yeah.
So what happens? Yeah, what happens is I you know. At the beginning of this year, I said, okay, we're getting really, really busy. We need to get our arms around this. Because I used to have like this notepad thing on the desktop that I used to just type stuff out, throw the information on there, and then, you know, go, okay, this week we're going to be talking to this person. Well, what I do now is I have this beautiful Excel spreadsheet that only a few people get to see.
Right. It's Trey exclusive.
Yeah, it's our working thing, you know, it's what we use to work off of.
Yeah.
And I send this to all the, you know, the host of the show and people that work, you know, the people that are involved with the show and whatnot who are concerned with it. I send this out like every 5 minutes usually because I'm always updating it.
Pretty much, yes.
I'm always updating this thing. Like I said a second ago, whether it's like a character change
every single time I have to drag a new one out to my desktop and then delete the source.
Well, it runs like a robot now because it's like color coded and stuff like that. So everything is explained at the legend on the bottom, and it's all pretty colors all over the place. And I'm sure if anybody just looked at this schedule and said, you know, okay, I'm looking at a schedule here of some sort, they're going to go, this is the absolute most ungodly, ugly mess of colors I've ever seen in my entire life. But to us, it makes sense, I hope.
It does.
It makes sense to me, at least, yeah. Because, you guys have kind of watched it evolve over, the last 6 months. I think somebody looking at it, just for the first time, I go, okay, I have no idea what's going on here, but it works for us though, and it's evolved from the guest schedule all the way to pretty much just the schedule now, where we have all our speaking dates on there, places we're going to, birthdays, baby births, whatever you want to call it, they're all on there now. Everything.
I think
is there.
I saw the ascent of Venus in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's a new thing. That's in a nice shade of violet.
Yeah, that's a violet one. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It really organizes our life.
No, well, but it does keep us kind of in the know. Everybody knows what's going on. We're all on the same page, and it keeps us all on track. So that's kind of why I'm usually I try to keep up on the message boards myself, but I'm usually just playing with the schedule all the time now.
Right.
You know, in conjunction with my email that has I'm not kidding you, Doug. Now, I think you might want to check the box because I think it's over 2,000 sitting up in my account alone right now. Because it's just back and forth. That's what I do. You know, when I every free moment I have during the day now is
But you went a week ago and you organized all your emails.
Well, yeah, but still, it's organized now, but it's still the same amount of emails. They're just all put somewhere different. you know what I'm saying? It isn't all this one big glob of just email addresses and subject headings you suck and I hate you and stuff like that.
That's all I get.
I have the I hate you folder, the you suck folder, and then get off the air folder, stuff like that. So it's all organized now, so I can kind of I know where to go to pull up information I need to work the schedule. Right.
Good job.
So that's my explanation of why I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Well, as it turns out, John went and actually debunked a crypto sighting,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of sad.
It is, and he was, I don't believe, very happy that it ended up the way it did.
Correct. He wanted to have a Bigfoot.
Correct.
Well, not have one, but he wanted to, like, you know,
well,
have a Bigfoot sighting
one.
Near him. I have an alien baby child.
I want to have a Bigfoot. Although I think that might hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, on to something else.
Well, anyway, so I did keep up on that. The GLPR Paranormal Picnic's coming up. Are you prepared? Are you ready?
Do you have anything you'd like to say about that, Amber?
She's not prepared, she's not ready,
that's
and she
an
has nothing
emphatic
she wants
head
to
shake
say.
For those of you that can't see her. And a slight grin.
Well, I am, and you know, we forgot to ask Jennifer if she's going to be the Crossroads one, because we're going to be down there, a little bit south of her neck of the woods, but we're going to Crossroads, right?
You guys are planning. I haven't planned myself to go there. I know you guys were talking about going to that. Anybody?
They've advertised that we're going.
So we're there.
Okay,
I know
cool.
I'm going. I want to go.
So you have to be there. No,
okay, I guess I'm going now.
However, trying to talk Jennifer into going to the Mothman Festival.
Oh, she would be a trip.
Yeah, she's hilarious. I love her. So I'm trying to work that out.
What? Speaking of Mothman hotels, did you get a hotel at Mothman?
Yes.
It's all taken care of.
Are we at the low?
No. I couldn't get that. I called her this morning, and but they said to call back at a later time, and they may have some openings for us. So we'll work that out, hopefully, at a later time.
This is Scott Atlove, the hit radio show, Ghostly Talk.
And she said...
Yeah, whatever.
Who?
So with everyone. Yeah.
Who? Yeah, everybody here is a celebrity. No, we don't have any openings. Go away.
Yeah. Okay. I'm absolutely done.
Dead air.
Well, no.
I have nothing else to say.
There is... We've talked about
and
this. There's
I'm spent.
Let me take a sip here. There is a ton of stuff going on. The Crossroads, the Haunted Crossroads event you guys were mentioning, that was something that it isn't on the schedule yet. But I know you guys have talked about wanting to go to that, which I think
yeah.
I'd love to go to that also. That's a big thing.
Doug
I think,
and I are going with or without you.
Okay, fine. Then I'll take the weekend off. I'm just going to chill that weekend. Or I think we have...
We'll
have
fun on this trip, Doug.
Oh, man. Wow. That's like 2 hours. I've been 2 solid hours. I've been taking hits, man. Like,
but I always follow it with "I love you, Scott."
Oh, here it is: Crossroads Paranormal, Indiana statewide meet and greet networking picnic.
Yeah.
So it's open to all Indiana paranormal groups and individuals are invited to attend this historic event. If you are networked with groups in nearby states, they are also invited.
Mm-hmm.
The shelter holds up to 125 people, so we can only get 125 people or less.
Well, I wonder how many people they have booked so far.
I don't know.
I think you guys could probably get into that still.
I still want to see. I want to see people absolutely pack the. What's the one,
shelter?
No, the one Grimstone. In the Grimstone one.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be hilarious if all of a sudden here it is August 5th.
Mm-hmm.
August 5th, Grimstone Paranormal Conference.
Yeah, I that's not the right name though. I misnamed that. But we can go with Grimstone. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if we went by Grimstone Paranormal Conference right now.
Okay, and then it's in Ann Arbor. It's on August 5th. You guys, if you need info, email us or look on grimstoneinc.com and get in there because I think it would be hilarious if, like, all of a sudden 100 or 150 or 200 people showed up.
Yeah, and just, like, crushed the place and scared everybody
awesome.
Out to death.
And then Chris would be like,
I have, like, 3 kids to take care of. What's going on?
Yeah, we booked the small room at the Best Western.
Yeah. We booked, like, the room. Not the hall. We booked literally, like, a room, like the winery here. We booked a room, and we're going to shove, you know, 100-plus people in this room or 200-plus whoever. We'd still like to see it, though. I'm sure the people at Grimstone would love to see that, too.
I think it would be absolutely amazing.
I
would love it.
It'd be very cool. And, yeah, again, like, we're going to be speaking there at that one,
I'll bring Alien Baby.
Is this thing going to be going with us now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be going
with
us.
Our new travel buddy. Try not to get a hole in this one.
Well, we have to fix the other one. We still have to fix that. I couldn't find the hole.
Go get me a bucket,
stethoscope,
full of water, and some
Vaseline. Just say it.
It's not that kind of a
this
bucket.
Just went to a bad place.
I was thinking more along the lines of dish soap, but okay, Vaseline, whatever, and some rubber gloves, and I'll fix the alien baby or alien.
We have to fix them because it was starting to lean a little bit. In West Virginia, unfortunately.
Nathan had the same lean it did.
We do have a picture of that up on the site, too, I think.
Passed out comatose.
We have a picture of that up on the site, I believe, too. If you go to our photo album with our trips, you'll see Nathan. It's just they're both kind of leaning the same way, and somebody just popped a picture of that. Was that you, Bonnie?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Good job.
I think it was also, the funniest part about that other alien that's, like, deflated right now, sitting in our T-shirt box. I remember we were out in the lobby. There's the conference room, and then there's, like, the hallway that goes around. There's, like, a big hallway that goes around that. And, like, one of the hallways was, like, the big lobby area where we're all chain-smoking and stuff like that on break. And I was talking with someone, I forget now. But I just remember, like, Jason and Grant from Taps were doing photos with everybody and stuff like that. And I just was looking over there going, oh, they're having fun. That's cool. They're having fun. And then all of a sudden I look again, right? And there is the alien in their hands, and they're getting pictures with this thing, too. And I'm like, I think, did you give it to them?
Actually, no. This is how it happened.
Do you know that photo made the cover, the front page of the CPRI newsletter?
Oh, did?
Yes, it did.
They were taking pictures with various other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe it was Grant that said, no, this is the picture you need. Ran over, grabbed the alien, and I was sitting there. I wasn't prepared for this at all. Grabbed the alien, put one arm around him, one arm around Jason, and then took the picture. And I said, okay, now wait, you have to let me get a picture of that. And then they did the not-so-normal comical picture with the alien.
Yeah. I don't think that was the one that made the cover of the CPRI newsletter.
Grant kind of made it look like he was getting probed.
Ah!
But that picture is up on the Ghostly Talk website as well.
Wow.
That one made me crack up hysterically.
I just remember looking back there going, how? Because this thing ends up in every picture it seems like now.
Everybody loved Green Alien Guy. Everybody.
I don't know how this thing it ended up in Jason and Grant's hands.
It's going to be a new Bravo series. Green Alien Guy.
He's going to
the Adventures of Green Alien Guy. And then in the second season, they'll work you into it as the father of... Well, they'll have... No, the second season will be like Little Alien...
Green Alien Gal?
Little Green Alien Guy.
Little Green Alien Guy.
Right, that'll be like...
Return of the Green Alien
Guy. Little... And then, like, father of the Green Alien Guy. And then you'll come stomping through Warren. And, there'll be this little green alien. Well, yeah, then you'll have the little green alien guy sitting there.
Hanging around your neck, like a necklace.
Well, no, I have to put it like a papoose or whatever.
You're going to get like a Flavor Flav thing going there. That'll be good. That'll be good.
It actually would.
We'll get you a derby, put that on sideways, and then we'll put you in a white, bleach white suit.
That'll be hot.
And then we'll get a chain on the little alien guy. You'll look great, Doug, I'm telling you.
Okay.
What's it going to take to con you into this? Because I'm telling you, it's going to look awesome.
$12.
$12?
Okay, I got it.
Bonnie, money. Throw the money at him. We need to get the money over. $12 to do this. Why don't we take another break?
Okay. That's a great idea. I can't even tell you.
Hey, you know what? You people out there people were complaining that we didn't talk enough candidly on this show.
Well, we're talking candidly now.
So if I hear one complaint, dude, I'm blocking your email. I don't want to hear this. Do not put us between a rock and a hard place.
Or this is what you get.
Yeah, this is live radio. Enjoy it for what it is. I mean, we're going to try to get Jess back on the phone. We're going to try to and see what happens. Doug, you okay over there, man?
I think he's crying.
You need a Kleenex.
There goes my show. No, this is fine. I actually enjoyed that last half hour. I wish we would have just kept Heather on. But
here's an idea.
Huh. Call Heather instead of Rajesh.
Well, I mean, no. Let's try Rajesh. And if we can't get through Rajesh, we'll call Heather.
I like that idea.
I mean, I don't know how happy she's. I don't know how happy she's going to be to hear from us, but
she'll love it. It'll be great.
But let's give it a shot. You know, let's try that. Let's go to break. What do you want?
It's Rajesh or nothing.
Rajesh or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to try to call Heather back?
No, no, no.
And just drive her insane.
We're going to see her in a couple weeks.
You're right. You're going to see her. Let's try to get Rajesh on the line. Let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk.
I'm Doug.
No, honestly, I had a brain freeze there for a second.
You
I don't know.
Is that your name?
Well, no. See, I had to move my hand and talking and moving your body. You know, I'm a male. I can't do that kind of stuff.
I know.
Let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is TAPS Ron Milioni from the AtlanticParanormalSociety.com, a.k.a. Gizmo Man, and you're listening to GhostlyTalk.com, the best number one radio talk show in the nation.
Give me my heart, beat double time. John Anthony West of www.jawest.net, and you are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Rajesh Singh, author of Human Species and Beyond, was born in Agra, UP, India in 1956. He attained his bachelor's degree in humanities and his master's degree in political science from Allahabad University, India. Singh currently serves as joint secretary for the government of the state of UP, India. His childhood interest in spirituality inspired him to write his first book, Human Species and Beyond. Research in several scientific and religious disciplines, such as Upanishads of the East, the Holy Bible, cosmology, quantum physics, and genetics, confirmed his beliefs on the evolution of the human species. This book combines ideas of science and religion by tying the messages of Scripture to the evolution of mankind. He hypothesizes that mankind has not yet fully evolved, and the vices in life stem from a lack of values held by the global population. He looks into the next stages of human evolution and predicts not only where human existence started, but where it is going. We are very happy to have on the line Rajesh Singh. He is in India. There mm-hmm. is a delay. I want to warn everybody, there is a delay between us and him. So he hears what we say a few seconds after we say it, and then we hear what he says a few seconds after he says it. So it's going to be difficult, but we are extremely excited to welcome Rajesh Singh to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. Thank you very much indeed.
It is a pleasure. And you know what's interesting, Rajesh, this book comes at a very interesting time because there is a lot of press, a lot of people are really looking at evolution and then of course the opposite, creationism versus evolution, and how can they fit together, are they separate, what is it? Your book really addresses this stuff right there, all in one volume. How it had to have been a nightmare to research. So I applaud you for doing that. How can you tie these two things together, the creationism and the evolution? How does it work?
Oh, that is interesting. One of the purposes of this book, Human Species and Beyond, was to address this question of creationism versus evolution. It has generally been supposed that the two are different and separate phenomena. But as we go to Human Species and Beyond, which is an effort to take elements from the Scriptures and to draw our basic surmises and postulates from the Scriptures and see them in the light of the latest indicators from sciences, we begin to feel there is a basic similarity between what is said in the Scriptures and what is now being suggested by sciences. Because sciences like quantum physics are now suggesting that what meets our eyes in fact is not the ultimate phenomenon. The reality is much deeper. It is not merely phenomenal. It is something which is beyond space and time. And elements like these, in fact, have been incorporated in Human Species and Beyond to show that creationism and evolution are two sides of the same coin. They're two sides of the same coin in the sense that evolution, the Darwinian evolution, for example, it talks about the interaction between the physical life systems on the one hand and the environment on the other, resulting in the survival of the fittest. But then, yeah, it is just put in a different way in the scriptures. It is not kind of, you know, mechanistic way of life which is given in the scriptures. What they say is that it is an interaction between the spiritual self, that is soul, on the one hand, and the material circumstances on the other. And the matter, in fact, is nothing but extension of the psychic self, the soul being. So, the only thing which, in fact, makes scriptures over the sciences is that scriptures address a futuristic scheme of life. They talk about the ultimate purpose of life, the ultimate purpose of evolution. And the human species and beyond has tried to show that ultimately we are going to grow into a new life form, which is the form of supramental human species, supramental beings. And that is the purpose of evolution.
So we're definitely not done growing yet. We've got several areas that we've got to conquer. And one of the things that you say is our current value systems that societies have allowed to grow over or throughout them, these value systems, are they holding us back? Is that what's wrong? Or are we going to grow through them anyway? Do you have any ideas on that?
Oh, yes. It is mentioned at some places in human species and beyond that we have yet to fully realize that we are in a transitory phase of our evolution. Most of our values, in fact, are contemporary in nature. By contemporaneity, I mean that they have been born out of a mix of expediency and socioeconomic forces. But these values, in fact, nowhere attend the basic scheme of life, the original scheme of life. And the truth is that the spirit of life, in fact, is not merely this contemporary biology. It is something else too. It is the spiritual essence of life which matters more, and the values which we have in the society, in fact, they create a lot of chaos and discordant notes in the society, and also also rob man of the peace and tranquility which is naturally his or her. So, unless we have a scheme of life which addresses the question of our future evolution, which takes our attention away from the mundane rut of life here and now, and which imbues us with the feeling that we are divine agents, we cannot have peace in our life. And though the idea of supramental species might be something distant, because it is not going to come about in a few hundreds of years. It may take much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be said that how come it applies to our life here and now? But then the important thing is when you have a concept, when you begin to realize in the evolutionary indicators of life, then you also begin to realize that it is not enough to have these contemporary values which are really dominating in the social and political sphere of life. We should be having something much more. And once we realize that there is a dreamland of future which is waiting for us, then we can at least adjust our present systems to the requirement of tomorrow, which basically is the requirement of peace in human heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then alone you can really help men and women to have a kind of life which they have been long aspiring for.
Well, I've noticed over the past couple of years, the past maybe 5 years, that when a tragedy happens, and here in the United States we had the terrorists flying the planes into the World Trade Center, and then we then there was a over in your neck of the woods out there near India, there was monsoon hurricane type
tsunami.
Tsunami, yeah. There was the tsunami over there, and then we had a hurricane here in the United States. And I noticed that when these tragedies happen, big tragedies, and a lot of people hear about them, then all of a sudden, all of society comes together, and it doesn't matter if you are if you're still in school and you're in your grade schools, or if you're a high, well-respected scientist or an entertainer in big blockbuster movies. You could be anybody, and your heart goes out, and people actually start doing things differently than they do every day. They actually think, how can I help these affected people? And some people send over clothing or money, or some people donate their blood for the Red Cross efforts, mm-hmm. and medical efforts. So people start acting differently, but I see that only on the big tragic events. Does that have to change? Like, do we have to be more charitable or more thinking of fellow humans all the time? Or is this like the turning around? Is this maybe just indicating, hey, society can change? It is possible that we may develop these values that you talk about.
There are two elements which are important here. Whenever this kind of catastrophes and natural calamities occur anywhere on the globe, our common reactions coming from most of the quarters simply show that the consciousness of human beings, the planetary consciousness, is universal consciousness. We are on the same plane of phenomenal energy. And behind the phenomenal energy, it is the divine energy, the nominal energy, which binds us all together. And we feel likewise. There are hardly any differences of opinions. And most of the time we realize that what has gone amiss, what has gone wrong, what has been unapprovable, it is something which is to be dealt with in a firm way, and we have to stand up together. That is a sure sign of the fact that we are one lot wherever we are, and it is also a sign of the fact that there is this world and then there is that world, and things in that world are more interconnected. They walk beyond space and time. So that energy which fills us all, in fact, is already there, and it manifests itself in times of crises, and we behave in a harmonious way. We are bound together. And now the question that you asked, in fact, is about whether we should be deliberately opting for some values which can bring in an element of coherence and peace on planet Earth in a way that these kind of things do not happen, or that we mitigate the chances of their happening to the barest minimum. Yes, that is important. It has been happening. It has happened. Also because we are given to a a shallow view of life. The life is not merely this mundane rut or the material prosperity or deprivation. Life is much more than this. We should be looking for prosperity. but then there should be some balance in our values. And we should also begin to think in terms of the basic stuff of life, which in fact is the real element of commonality, which in fact is shared by us all. So long as we are we are sticking to that makeshift view of life, then these differences, then these sensiparious tendencies begin to grow. And if you really want to do away with them, you should have values which introduce homogeneity, which introduce common perceptibility, which strengthen our faith in the shared destiny of human race.
And all of this is possible by, it looks like, because I was reading through the highlights of what you normally discuss in the topics of your book, and it looks like it could be realized first by learning more about one's self. Perhaps the first thing is controlling your mind and preparing your spirit, and then the second thing, realizing inner peace and peace with others. It sounds like if you get comfortable with yourself, if you realize yourself first and you make yourself at peace and learn about yourself, then that may hopefully transfer out into the world that you affect. So how do you get started? How can you control your mind and develop this learning about yourself?
Human species and beyond tries to establish that link between the inner psychic self and the outer material circumstances. And it has tried to show that the real knowledge is the knowledge of yourself. And that knowledge, in fact, is not the material knowledge that we receive from outside. This assimilation of verifiable facts is based on the working of senses. But who receives this knowledge from outside? Are the senses qualified enough to assimilate these experiences for knowledge from outside? No, there is something else. There is some basic stuff of your being, the soul being, which in fact turns back from that world to this world and is born here and is imbued with eros, the memory of the truth. And it is in the light of that truth that everything becomes understandable. The intentions, the actors, the interactors, the events, and everything. We can see them, we can see beyond them. We are seeing them as of now. We are not seeing beyond them. Because what we have exactly done is to rely upon the verifiability of senses beyond measure. We thought that we have been seized with a feeling that what is verifiable alone is the surest guide to what the truth is. Back then, the truth has yet to disclose itself. We have yet to know the ultimates of life. And it is by way of, having that kind of a neutral, detached outlook, which comes by our spiritual advancement, that you begin to see things and events in the right form, in the right intent and content. So you have to know yourself first, be at peace with yourself, because that ultimate element, which you call the element of field, the grand unified field, the physicists are talking about, is nothing but the influence of that, the centrality on the material world, because it wraps everything together, it binds everything a piece, and then it becomes the most important element in life. So that grand unified field is nothing but the influence of soul on the material circumstances. And it is by advancing the cause of that soul that it can really be in grasp of things and master your material circumstances.
And how does it fit in, then, with people's religions? Because everybody has been brought up, and everybody has either has a religion or doesn't. And some people are Buddhist, some people are Catholic, and some people are Wiccan, and some people are just... There's hundreds and hundreds of religions, and this appears... It appears that you studied religion and science to come up with this, but what I'm wondering is, how can somebody be of... How can people be of so many different religions and still be part of the grand unified field that you're speaking of and coexist? And how can we grow as a human race?
Oh, yes. One of the conditions of this book, Human Species and Beyond, is that it is talking retrospectively about what the life was, and it's talking prospectively about what the life shall be. When we talk about religions, in fact, if you look back in the past history of human race, when we were not that much advanced civilizationally, maybe we were confined to smaller groups, most of the groups had their own religions. Even in the advanced civilization, when chapters of civilization had begun, like city-states had their own city gods. But then, as social, political, and economic forces made larger entities come into existence, then the spiritual element also began to manifest itself in a more clear manner. And the number of sects and religious beliefs reduced. So now one of the purpose of Human Species and Beyond is that if you go into scriptures, then you discover, if you really look at them in the light of the objective truth, and the objective truth is coming as much from sciences. If you see in their light, then you begin to feel that religions, in fact, are not mutually antagonistic. They don't have much of differences. There are two things in life. One is religion, the other is spirituality. The essence of the scriptures lies in their spiritual suggestions, in their spiritual characteristics. And on the other hand, the proscriptions, prescriptions, taboos, which come from these scriptures, in fact, yeah, they are part of the scriptures, but then they are there because they were required by those specific times when the prophets were talking about the social, economic, and political circumstances. So the scriptures might be mutually divergent about these issues of prescriptions and proscriptions. But when you talk about the spirituality, the spiritual essence of life, then they talk about the common scheme of life, and it is this which happens to be the basic focus of Human Species and Beyond, and it also suggests that these common elements are surely indicating that we are going to grow on similar lines, and this is so possible only when we begin to realize this tandem in the working of nature, which is binding us together.
Absolutely amazing. Rajesh Singh is the author of Human Species and Beyond. It's available at bookpros.com mm-hmm. and undoubtedly mm-hmm. in various other places on the internet, probably Amazon and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, Rajesh, this was a fascinating book, and I have to highly recommend it to all of our listeners. I did look through it. I didn't get a chance to read it cover to cover yet, but the bits that I did read, it is indeed scientific, as well as delving into the the different religions and spirituality studies that people have. You've done a phenomenal job with this book, and I have to thank you very much, Mr. Singh. What an awesome book, Human Species and Beyond.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
listen to now.
Yeah.